Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. We've got a great show today. Peter Mehit is here. He's written a book called Killer Business Plan. And, you know, sometimes as an option for a job that we could explore as an ex-offender is the idea of starting our own business. And so that's why I have Peter on today, and he's an expert at that. And we're going to talk to him about that right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. You can always drop me a line at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Love to hear from you. Hey everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is Peter Mehit. Peter is the co-author of A Killer Business Plan. Welcome, Peter. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm having Peter on today because those of us that have exited incarceration, we know that jobs, at least substantial employment, is kind of scarce. And one option we have is to look at the possibilities of starting our own business. And Peter knows a lot about this. Peter, before we get started, can you just give us a little bit of your background and let us know where it is you're coming from?
Yes, I will. But first, I want to thank you, Rodney, for having me on the program. I want to thank your listeners for tuning in.
No problem.
I'm going to try to make this a really good use, valuable use of everybody's time.
Good.
I am a refugee from the corporate world myself. I have been in a couple different careers. I was in petrochemical construction to start with, but my main bulk of my career was in information technology in high-value outsourcing, which meant sending other people's jobs overseas, and then also helping companies organize so they could run better through process design. And what caused me to leave corporate America was the fact that I realized that I was accumulating massive amounts of bad karma by being involved as a corporate hitman sending these jobs overseas. So in order to atone, I have become a champion and a friend of small businesses, mom and pop, Main Street, brick and mortar, because the reality of the American economy is that that is where all the jobs are located. Most of the jobs start in the small business sector of the economy, and they last the longest. They're usually the last people to let people go. They're the best people to work for. They're the most loyal to their employees, and they care the most about their employees. And I've been working with them for 10 years. We started in 2004, and we just have learned to love them and want to see more of them. And I think if you look at what's going on in corporate America, corporations are eating themselves. They've become incredibly greedy. They're all about the money. They're shipping all the jobs away, and eventually all of their products will be unpurchasable by their very market in America. And the way to save that, the way to save, I think, the country, really, is for all of us to become entrepreneurs and turn away from that whole corporate fear, greed world that's out there and support each other on Main Street, and that's what we're about.
You remember in the movie Wall Street, I think it was Wall Street, where the guy says, greed is your friend, or greed is a good
thing. Greed is good. Gordon Gekko. Greed is good.
Gordon Gekko, right. And I've never agreed with that. I just felt like, you know, that greed is killing us all. But, okay, let's just start from the beginning here. So you got somebody that wants to start a business. Let's talk about what a business plan is. What is a business plan?
A business plan is, in and of itself, a document.
Okay.
It's what the business plan embodies that is important. And the business plan embodies really three things. It embodies who the entrepreneur wants to be, what they want to be on the other side of the process. It embodies what business that they want to do. And then the third piece of it is actually, how are they going to execute that? How are they going to launch it? And then how are they going to grow it once they do that? And so those three things end up becoming a business plan. But I think a lot of people get fixated on business plans as something they got to do because the bank told them they needed it, or a landlord told them they needed it. And so they got to hurry and get this off their checklist. But the truth of the matter is, the business plan, if it's done as a process, can be the single most powerful thing, first of all, to even getting yourself sure that you want to do a business, that you have what you need to be able to be successful at it. And then secondly, to be able to actually walk it out and make it happen. Because let's think about plans for a second.
Okay.
If you have a plan, think about, for example, if you're a good sports analogy, right, is some of the biggest plays in a football game are not made from the plays that are called from the sideline. They're made from when the plays fail, right?
Right.
Broken play, right? It's a broken play, right? But the guy runs to the end zone for a touchdown. The reason that person was able to do that, though, is because they went through the discipline of having a game plan. And so having the game plan is not only thinking about what you're going to do, but you're thinking about what the opposition is going to do. So in the case of a business plan, you're thinking about, what are the things that could go wrong in the economy? What are the things, what if I don't attract these customers? What do I need to do? How do I need to change them? How do I need to pivot to be able to attract them? And so the business plan is really almost like CrossFit for your mind. You're going in, you're doing the exercises, you're building yourself up so that when the unexpected happens, you're not completely spun and flummoxed by it. You can meet it, embrace it, and say, hey, this is actually a bigger opportunity. I can run to the end zone. And so the business plan is that preparation process. It's not
okay.
A document.
Okay. Let me interrupt you right there. And
sure.
One of the things I've noticed going through your materials is that there's actually a personal component to the business plan. Like, what, you know, you have to take a good, honest look at yourself. What are my shortcomings? Am I wrong to get that from your materials? Is that something that people should be considering? Where should I address my shortcomings? How should I address that? And how am I going to get to where I need to be from here? Could you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. The starting point of all of it is you. I mean, it's when you get into your business, when you actually start, it's all about them, about mm-hmm. your customers, and it's never about you. But in the beginning, it's all about you. It's about what you believe. It's about what you believe about money, your relationship to money, and whether you think you're worthy to have money. I've seen, we've been doing this, we've had thousands of clients. And we've seen clients that were successful and then failed because they had things going on about worthiness and about whether it was something that they should be able to have money, they should be able to have abundance in their lives. Having the support of a significant other in your life is absolutely critical. You're not going to make it if your wife or your partner or your husband or boyfriend are against you, or even just ambivalent.
Mm-hmm.
So there are all these factors that you have to look at, and you also have to look at if you're waiting for 5 o'clock at the end of the day so you can go home. If you are never want to work on a weekend, those are things that are going to happen in your own business. Those are things that you, because in your own business, the work's got to get done,
right?
And you have to serve your customer. So you have to be willing to arrange your life around what is going to work for your customers. And that's not for everyone, and it's not wrong or right.
Mm-hmm.
But the path of the entrepreneur is totally worth it. Things will happen to you that are just amazing, and you can never do in a job. But it also has a price, and you have to count that cost first.
So, Peter, it really needs to consume you in the beginning. I mean, you need to just give it everything you've got, right?
I think you're going to have moments of confusion that you have to push through,
mm-hmm.
and I think you're going to have moments of frustration you have to survive, but I think you're absolutely right. You have to be willing to give yourself over to it completely, yes.
Okay. Now, let's say that there's a guy who's got a van and he's got some plumbing skills and he wants to start a plumbing business, just one man operation. Does he need a business plan?
He does not need a formal business plan, but he does need to think through all of the things he would need to think through to write a business plan. And so in our book, we give you a sample. In fact, you go to the website that's associated with the book. There's all kinds of sample business plans and stuff to look at. He doesn't need necessarily to generate that, but he needs to work through every single one of those things. And then whatever it is, if he's got a three-ring binder or a spiral-bound notebook, or he goes ahead and writes a formal business plan, he needs to address every one of those single areas. Who's my customer? Where do I find them? How do I market them to them? How am I going to do my operations? How are my customers going to pay me? How am I going to account for my expenses and my profits? All of those things need to be thought through, because what happens, especially with tradespeople and people who open stores and especially service providers, is they're good at their craft and they get going and they actually get some success, and they get to that point where it's just a little bit too much for them to handle. And then that's when they usually have crisis, because they haven't thought through what the next step is when they get big enough that they got to bring on help or other things.
And you help them do that, right? I mean, you show them how to go through all that.
Yes.
What about, I'm just throwing some ideas out here of people that, you know, that I know that have tried to do some things. What about somebody who's got a product, some kind of craft or something, and they just want to sell it on the internet? Do business plans come in to that kind of situation?
Absolutely. Again, it's the same answer.
Okay.
The degree of formality that you go through, like, for example, the book is designed to, because we've aimed the book really mainly at people who are looking to get SBA loans, and there are very specific requirements about what those business plans look like.
Right.
But all of the things that are in Killer Business Plan in the book, you need to think about, and you need to have formalized, however it is for you. You need to formalize all of the elements that are talked about. You need to touch and think about, because in some businesses, some elements are more important than others. But for example, if you're going to the bank, going through a big, long discussion of how big the industry is and what North American industry code you're in is not as important. But every business needs to focus on who their competition is, who their customer is, and how they're going to market to them.
Right.
And if you don't do anything else, if you don't write a business plan at all, focus on those three things, starting with who's your customer, who are you selling to? Because if you say I'm selling to anybody or everybody, you're selling to nobody.
Okay. This next question might be kind of tough, and I'd like to get your response on this. I think it's kind of general knowledge that that most businesses, when they start, fail. So why is that? Is it a lack of planning? Is it not going through the steps that you're recommending? Why does that happen?
Well, I'd like to be promoting my product constantly and say it's a lack of planning, but that's not the number one reason that most businesses fail. The number one reason that most businesses fail is people do not have enough capital when they start.
Okay.
And by capital, I mean money and other resources. People building to put their place in, machinery if they need it, a welding rig if they're a welder. Those are all things called capital.
Right.
So if I don't have those things in place before I start, and a lot of people go, because let's face it, we're living in the era of the startup nation. Everybody, entrepreneurs, the whole idea of being an entrepreneur is really being promoted everywhere.
Right.
And then there's this idea of the lean entrepreneur, the agile entrepreneur, people starting up on a shoestring and bootstrapping. You'll hear all those words out there. But at the end of the day, if you haven't figured out all of the things you need, money, people, and time that you need to do it, then what's going to happen is if you launch and you don't have enough money and you run out, you're not going to be able to go to the bank. You're not going to be able to go to friends and family, because they're going to say, well, you kind of mismanaged this. Why did you start without enough money? Why did you start without having everything you needed in place? And that's the number one reason why they fail, And so if you work backwards from that, well, of course, they didn't plan. So the actual reason is lack of capitalization, but the real reason is lack of planning. Because if you looked at it from that perspective of needing enough capital and knowing you didn't have it, you mm-hmm. wouldn't start until you had enough, right?
If people, okay, let's look at it this way. That's, you know, you're right. I believe you're right on target. It's excellent advice. The thing I'm wondering about, if you have a limited amount of capital, where does the money go? Should you pump it into advertising, or should you put it into, you know, inventory? Where, if you have a limited amount of capital, is the best place to put your money?
That is a really excellent question, and my partner and I spent the whole weekend actually thinking about that, not only for clients, but ourselves for a product that we're thinking about launching. If you can, in any way, pre-sell your product, you should do that. The last place you want to put money is inventory, because if you pick a product or you pick an item to sell, and it doesn't move, then what do you do with the inventory?
Right.
So the best thing that you can do is to focus on who your client is, focus on what they want, find a way to pre-sell your product before you order it, before you even buy it. Take their money and use the money that comes in from them to buy the product.
Gotcha.
So now all of that liquidates itself, and the whole worry of, oh my goodness, I have to sell this stuff because it's sitting on my shelf, is over, because you get the money, you buy the product, you take out your cost. Now you're starting to make profit. And so if you have limited money, that's the only way you should launch. You should never carry inventory if your funding is limited.
Okay. All right, Peter, we're going to take a real quick break. We're going to be right back with Peter Mihit. We're talking about business plans, how to get rolling, and we'll be back with more with Peter right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Need some help getting your toddlers to learn the ABCs? I got just the thing for you. It's a song by a group of girls called the Twirly Whirly Girls, and those girls sing the ABC song. The ABC song is available on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, all of your favorite download sites. It's a great little song to help toddlers learn their ABCs, the Twirly Whirly Girls. Welcome back. We're talking with Peter Mihit. Peter was telling us about where to put our money if we have a limited amount of capital. How do we spend that money to start our business? I really like the things that Peter is saying about just thinking through the process. And his book, Killer Business Plan, is something that you might want to take a look at if you're thinking about starting a business. In your experience, Peter, what are the kinds of businesses that are making it today with limited capital up front? What's working right now?
Well, if you are a practitioner of any kind of service, you're a massage therapist, you're a hypnotherapist, you're an energy healer, you're a plumber, you're anything that is, you're trading your time for treasure. Clearly, you don't have a lot of expense, and so then it's really a matter of just marketing and getting people to buy your services. So those are always the easiest businesses to start. They're the most difficult businesses to scale because the very thing that makes them easy, which is trading time for money, becomes the limitation because you have only so much time, and you're going to need to rejuvenate yourself and be away and have some downtime. You can't work all the time, and you're marketing, so the amount of time you have is limited, so they become kind of constraining.
It seems to me like, Peter, you know, it seems to me like that you could have the best product in the world and are the best service in the world, but unless people know about it, it's not going to do anything for you. So, you know, for the small business guy that's starting the kind of business that you're talking about, you know, some kind of hypnotherapy or massage, what is the best avenue for marketing? Where do you put that money? Is it in a newspaper ad? Is it in a billboard? What is the best avenue for that money?
Well, because you're one person to start out, going into anything that is mass market necessarily is not probably your best play.
Okay.
What you're trying to do is you're going to, because you thought through the process, you're going to know how many clients that you need at a certain price point to do what you need to do. What we've found is the very best way to generate buzz and to get people to see you is public speaking, finding places to go talk about what you do and deliver tremendous amounts of value around giving them advice, tips. Like, for example, I'm a physical therapist, and I can go to different venues and talk about how if you sit a certain way, your lumbar will do better if you do certain things. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is you get seen in the community as being a giver, as somebody that I want you guys to be better. And people are drawn to that as opposed to somebody that's saying, well, here's what I offer, and here's the price, and here's what I do. Mm-hmm. So speaking, and then the next thing I would say is, to begin to cultivate an email list by generating content through newsletters or things that you can offer on a repeating basis through email is going to be really, really cost effective. Because if you look about newspapers, for example, or being in a magazine, you're going to have to run for at least 14 weeks for anybody to even see you. Or J. Conrad Levinson, who wrote Guerrilla Marketing, which is an amazing book. It's been around for about 30 years, mm-hmm. and it's still fresh. Get that book, Guerrilla Marketing. It has a million tactics for small startup businesses. But what he says is people have to see you 14 times before they act. And it's no coincidence when you run on radio or in television, they'll try to sell you 12 and 14 weeks because that's what it takes. So you can imagine how expensive that would get. And everybody thinks, well, if I'm in the newspaper and I run one or two times, no. You're going to run for months before you start to see anything come back. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if you can speak to 10 or 15 people and you make an impression, those 10 or 15 people are going to tell one or two people. Now you're 45 people.
Right.
Now you're 100 people. The more you do it, and don't talk to the same audience. Some businesses do great with chambers of commerce, and they're great for them. Merchants do great in chambers of commerce. Service people don't. But talk to different people. That's the trap of the Chamber of Commerce, is you go and you think, oh, I'm out networking, but you're talking to the same people. You need to get in front of different people and do a lot of networking. Go to as many. When you're starting, you should be going. You should never eat alone. You should have lunch with somebody that you've met at a networking event. You should have coffee with people you meet at networking events. And you should be going, when you first start out, to a networking event every chance you get. If it's every day of the week, you should be out every day of the week. Because if you have limited funds, that's really the best way and the quickest way to get started.
Do you find that social media is effective? Facebook pages, web pages, that sort of thing?
The jury's out on that. For me personally, and it could be because I'm not a millennial, the odds of you being able to make something go viral is really, really slim. And It's really some things going viral are anything from cute cats to the unfortunate thing that happened with the Bill Cosby meme.
Right.
So you don't have any real control over what's going to go viral.
Right.
Facebook pages are good. It's really predicated on how much your friends are willing to push your page. So I would say before I even started a Facebook page, I would contact a good number of my personal friends and say, hey, I'm starting this business. I'm going to do this page. And would you help me? Would you be willing to help me by soft promoting my page for me? Because for you to just show up and say, like my page, they'll like your page. But that's not the same as them telling people, hey, you know what? Rodney's in business. We really need to help him.
I see people sometimes that have pages, but they've got like 12 likes on them, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, how effective is this? You know, I mean, so, Peter, tell us a little bit about, more about what's in the book. If we buy the book, what are we getting? And then tell us how to get the book.
Thank you so much. What's in the book is three parts, and it's really all the first two parts are all about you. The very first part really deals with just helps you pick a business. So in other words, it takes you through a personality inventory, and it says, okay, here are where my strengths are, and here are the things I like, and then it talks about the different kind of businesses that are out there and gives you a survey of what's available in the economy. And so as you read through that, the things that will resonate with you, you'll go, oh, I like that. Oh, I don't like that. Oh, maybe I want a franchise. No, I don't want to be confined by a franchise, because everybody's different. There's no one way that's going to work for anybody, for everybody. Not anybody, but a bad thing to say. And then the second part is figuring out if it's going to be worth it, because for a business to work, it has to not only support the business, but it's got to support your life. And so we give you some tools to work with that help you figure out, before you even write a business plan or think you need to write a business plan, whether that business is going to pay off in the way you need to, which is the life you want to live. And then the third part takes you step by step through the videos. And this is more than a book. So when you have the book in hand, which is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble as a Kindle or as a physical book,
mm-hmm.
there's also a website attached to it where you can go that has templates, sample business plans, and most importantly, how-to videos. Like, for example, for the financial performance, which are really important, step-by-step how to actually do that work. So the book is really a combination online and physical book product so that, and it runs in stages so that you can first figure out the business you want to do, figure out if it's going to be worth it for you, and then actually do the business plan. And like I said in the beginning of the interview, do as formal or as informal as a business plan as you need. And so to get that book, you would go to Barnes & Noble online, or you go to bn.com, or you go to amazon.com. You can pick that up there. And I also, I would really like to offer something to your listeners. Would that be okay with you?
Sure.
What I would say, if you call 800-741-8444, we will give you a 15-minute consult, and you can say, hey, I've got this business idea, or I have this business problem, and we will do our best to answer that for you. And if you call, we will send you an electronic copy of the book.
Wow.
So that's 800-741-8444. And right now I'm actually doing this interview from a different place, so if you get an answering machine, don't be hung up on that. We will get back to you. It will still count as if you got through.
Okay. 800-741-8444. Peter Mehit, the book is called Killer Business Plan. Peter, thank you so much. There's very informative. Thank you for the offer as well, and I want to thank you for being on the Journey of Hope today.
Rodney, you rock. Thank you so much for having us on.
Nobody's ever told me I rock. I want more guests to tell me I rock.
You know what comes through in your voice?
What's that?
Is how sincere and how much you care about the listeners and what they're going through, and I really just applaud you for that.
Thank you, Peter. We're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. And remember, you can always catch me at MathersRodney at yahoo.com. That's MathersRodney at yahoo.com. You know, I'd really love to hear from you. If you have show ideas or suggestions, send them on to me. Be glad to hear from you. Thank my guest, Peter Mihit, for answering all of our questions today about starting your own business. And I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on The Journey of Hope.